Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And we're talking about today, they're killing us for pay. They're killing us for pay. Now, who am I talking about? I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, our legislators in Tallahassee taking lobbyist funds. That's the only reason they would vote to pass a bill that would kill us, giving the hospitals and the doctors and the nursing home and the medical facilities the right to practice medicine as the CDC protocol calls for, which is proven across America to kill the patients, especially COVID patients. According to Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, there's been just under 500,000 that have died as a result of the COVID vaccination, and over 1.5 million that have had major serious side effects that will last a lifetime as a result of the COVID vaccination. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, there's still a push today to vaccinate the ones that they claim have tested positive for COVID. In fact, if you do not have the COVID jab, many of the hospitals are not allowing you to be admitted, not allowing you to have transplant of any bodily organs that's necessary unless you've had the COVID jab. And yet more and more of those in the sports field and those in the other areas of society are dying as a result of having the COVID jab. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm appalled. I'm amazed at what is being done today under the guise, the smokescreen, of protecting our health. I say to any governmental agency, don't protect my health. Let me make the decision on how I want to protect my own health. Anytime the government's gotten involved in anything, it destroys it. Just look at the Veterans Administration operated by the government. Look at the Obamacare that is in full force today across America with the health care. Look at what that has done. Look at the Social Security Administration and the condition it's in because it's run by the federal government. Anything that's operated, run, or mandated by the federal or state governments generally makes a mess out of society. But ladies and gentlemen, just before the news break, I was reading to you some information. Information is from Jeff Childers. Jeff Childers is an attorney in Gainesville. Jeff Childers is the attorney that's filed suit against several hospitals and medical facilities for maltreatment of the patients, and he's intervened to try to save the lives of patients. One was right here at Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, where the judge ruled that there was no standing and dismissed the case. But I'm going to tell you why that took place as we look at the proposed bill, the proposed legislation, and Senate Bill 7014 and House Bill 7020, which is now in the process of reconciliation, that's blending the two bills to have the same wording for it then to go to the governor's desk for the governor DeSantis to sign it. And later in this broadcast, I can give you telephone numbers and ask you to call the governor's office, ask you to call legislators and urge them to say no on this bill, urging, begging, pleading with the governor to not sign the bill but to veto it. Let me just begin again with this summary from Jeff Childers, the attorney in Gainesville. Yesterday, House Bill 7021, the bill that would continue to shield, that word shield means to protect, give total blanket liability coverage, shield hospitals from legal liability for injuries to COVID patients, was tabled, but only to allow the House to substitute the Senate version, Senate Bill 7014. This is an elegant preliminary parliamentary trick it avoids the final lawmaking step with the two bills. The House version and the Senate version have to be reconciled with each other. I've been told by insiders that it will be read for the third and final time today. That was last Friday at noon and passed. I got hold of the internal briefing sheet from the bill that was proposed, provided to the legislators. It is this. Listen now, this is what Jeff Childress is saying. It is profoundly deceptive. It is a fluff piece that describes the bill as, quote, helping patients and citizens instead of hospitals. So most legislators probably aren't even aware how awful this bill really is. It's a stinker, the attorney says. The staff analysis prepared for every bill is a deeper dive for the lawmakers who have enough time to dig in. The staff analysis for the bill acknowledges that the liability shield's only available for substantial compliance. Listen, the liability shield for the hospitals and the doctors and the medical facilities is available only for substantial compliance with government-issued health standards specifically related to COVID-19 or other relevant standards, end quote. And that's the problem. That requirement locks hospitals into the antiquated remdesivir ventilator treatment protocol and wipes out doctors' independence completely, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, what is the bottom line? How should we then live, as Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10? We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we have legislators in Tallahassee, those that say that they're conservatives, those that are Republicans, that are simply put rhinos, calling themselves Republicans, but Republican in name only, that are signing bills and passing legislation. And you have to ask the question, why do they do that? But generally because of the lobbyists involved in the background. In fact, if you ever walk the halls of the House and the Senate in Tallahassee and through the Capitol, you find lurking in every nook and cranny, every corner of the corridors and the concourses in the Capitol building, the House and the Senate building, you find lurking there those that are lobbyists waiting outside the doors to see the legislators to lobby for some bill or for the passage of something that will put money in their constituents' pockets. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little bit fed up with that approach to legislation in any state, and especially in the state of Florida. So, ladies and gentlemen, if this bill is signed by Governor DeSantis, let me give you quickly, for the balance of this broadcast, the 10 major things that this bill will do. And then I will read you excerpts from the bill itself. Number one, it provides complete legal protection for doctors and hospitals and all medical care facilities with total blanket liability protection. What does that mean? That means that the hospital can treat you any way they please. They can languish in their care and responsibility. They can slough it off, according to this bill, with different points that I'll touch on in just a moment. They can say, we didn't have time. We didn't have the personnel. We couldn't find the material. We didn't have the equipment available. Any excuse they want to use is a valid excuse. And as long as they say that they're following the CDC protocol, then they are covered completely, regardless of how they treat you, regardless of what they do to you as the patient. Number two, it makes these medical institutions insulated. They cannot be sued even if they kill you. If they kill your mother, they kill your father, they kill your son or your daughter, they cannot be sued. Now, how would you like to know, in going in a hospital, when you sign that long form that you haven't even read, and they scroll down on their handheld device, and you take your finger and sign that little in that little block that you have read and agree upon all of the requirements and the protocol for the hospital. You don't have any idea what you're signing. You're signing under duress because you're hurting. You're signing under duress because you're sick. You're signing under duress because you have the need to go into the hospital or you wouldn't be there. And so it is a forced procedure to get you to sign this. Nobody's ever read that. You don't know what you're signing. But ladies and gentlemen, you're signing away any rights of recovery that you might have. And the hospitals are being given that blanket liability protection that however they treat you, as long as they codify the fact that they're following the CDC guidelines, then it's okay for them to maltreat you. It's okay for them to give you remdesivir, which will destroy your pancreas. It will destroy your kidneys, and then wonder and tell your family members that some reason we don't understand his kidneys are failing. His heart is not beating in the proper rhythm. His pancreas is infected and swollen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All of those things come as a result of the medical treatment that you're being given, but if they're doing it according to the CDC protocol, then they're totally covered and protected in doing so. Number three, ladies and gentlemen, it specifically protects doctors and hospitals from any act that they will do or perform on a COVID patient. The key to their liability protection, the key to their blanket protection from any civil or criminal suit against them, the key is that they say, do it based on the requirements by the CDC. If it is a COVID patient, this is the reason a person can go in with a broken leg, and 3 days later, if you're still in the hospital, you're rated as a COVID patient. Because number one, any hospital across America that puts you in the hospital and they list it as COVID, they will receive from the federal government's COVID care funds upward of $100,000. Baptist Hospital South gets $48,500 if they enlist you, enroll you in the hospital, and call it COVID. They get an additional $18,000 to $20,000 for the PPE, that's personal protection equipment they need to have. And then they get a 20% increase on the total bill as a result of it being called COVID. So why do you think they would not want the COVID scare to end? It's bad enough to know that we got a federal government, Joe Biden, that's cognitively depleted, and his handlers. It's bad enough to know that they're trying to force this on every human being to get the jab, which will either kill you or in some way maim you for the rest of your life, having to depend upon the big pharmaceuticals for prescriptions to keep your life, keep you living. It's bad enough to think that. But to realize, ladies and gentlemen, that for money, that for pay, the hospitals and the doctors and the entire medical facility, the medical apparatus in America, they are on the hook for the money, and the legislators are passing legislation that will allow them to continue to kill the patients if they're called COVID. It's as though, ladies and gentlemen, you contract COVID and your life is worthless except for the money they can get in maltreating you and torturing you to death for what time you are in the hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing, and I've studied the legislation, and I've just done a takeoff sheet as to the points. These doctors and hospitals and medical care facilities can prescribe remdesivir, ventilators, and the COVID jab, knowing that it could kill the patient, but with full protection of the law. Dr. Katz, K-A-T-Z, a medical doctor researcher with Yale University Hospital called Mitchell Hospital, wrote an article about a month or 6 weeks ago now. Don't put your family member in the hospital. They will kill you. And he goes on to say that the doctors, the nurses, the medical facilities do not do it because they want to, but they do it because they're following the CDC protocol. And they're required to follow the CDC protocol to get that upcharge, to get all of those millions and millions of dollars coming in from the federal government from every hand. Ladies and gentlemen, our federal government, via the hospitals and the medical care facilities, via the legislation that is passed by legislators as right here in the state of Florida, that allows them to willy-nilly treat you anyway, even take your life because of the money. It's killing us for pay. Number five, the hospitals and medical care facilities can claim lack of resources, lack of supplies, and be exempt from the COVID patient's death if they say we didn't have enough personnel, if they say we didn't have the right equipment, if they say that we couldn't get the equipment that was needed and necessary to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, let me digress from my talking points about that and just look at a summary of Senate Bill 7014 and House Bill 7021. It is for the furtherance of a blanket liability bill that they passed in 2020 and 2021, renewing it to last until mid-2023. This article reads, it is the actual copy from the Senate bill. It says this, an act relating to COVID-related, COVID-19-related claims against health care providers, extending the duration of the liability protections from COVID-19-related claims against health care providers, providing an effective date once this is signed, is the effective date. It states then, in Florida Statute 768.381, COVID-related claims against health care providers, application period, this section applies to claims that have occurred before the effective date of this act and before June 1st, 2023. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, everything that has taken place thus far in the hospitals, the doctors, medical care that's maltreated you, killed your loved ones, or lamed you, maimed you for the rest of your life, it gives them blanket coverage for that and for anything between now and June of 2023. Ladies and gentlemen, in this bill, it is under Florida Statute 768.381, and the title of it is COVID-19-related claims against healthcare providers. It goes on to say here, COVID-19 means the novel coronavirus identified as SARS-CoV-2. Any disease, it says, caused by SARS-CoV-2 are the viral fragments or a virus mutation therefrom, and all conditions associated with the disease which are caused by COVID, its viral fragments or virus mutations thereof. In other words, this bill is a blanket covering everything that they call COVID or any related. It could be COVID variant Delta, COVID variant Omicron, et cetera, or any dozens of them that may be in the future. COVID-19-related claims means civil liability claims against healthcare providers, which arises from the diagnosis or treatment of or failure to diagnose or treat a person with COVID, the provision of the novel coronavirus experimental COVID-19 treatment, including the COVID jab, an act of omission with respect to an emergency medical condition defined in Florida Statute 395.002, and which act of omission was the result of, listen, the act of omission, that is, if they didn't treat you properly in the hospital as a result of lack of resources directly caused by the COVID pandemic. In other words, they can backtrack and say the COVID pandemic filled our beds up. We didn't have room, so therefore that patient didn't get the proper care. Therefore that patient died. Therefore we are covered by the liability. The provision of treatment to a patient diagnosed with COVID-19 whose injuries were directly related to the or exacerbation of the patient's pre-existing condition by COVID. In other words, you had a condition, that is, you had a bad cold, and you got into the straits of going to the hospital. It exacerbated that, and they claimed then that they are free from any liability. Government-issued health standards means federal, state, and local laws, rules, regulations, guidelines, and orders that describe the manner in which the health care provider must operate. It covers the clinical laboratories. It covers the federally qualified health care centers. It covers any site providing health care services. It covers any health care practitioner. It covers any health care professionally licensed person. It includes all home health care services, et cetera, et cetera. Further, it states here in this bill, in any civil action against a health care provider based on COVID-19-related claims, the complaint must be pled with particularity by alleging facts in sufficient detail to support each element of the claim. An affidavit of the physician is not required as part of the pleading. In other words, the pleading can be on the basis, the hospital can say this, this, and this. There doesn't have to be an affidavit from the physician himself for them to plead it. This article further says, if the complaint is not pled with particularity, the court must dismiss the action. Ladies and gentlemen, you must be able to show absolute clearly that the cause of your loved one's death in the hospital was as a result of maltreatment, mistreatment, misdiagnosed, or because gave you the wrong medication or wouldn't allow you to have the right medication. And if you don't clearly delineate that, and if you can't prove that, then the bill, this law, if passed into law, the judge would be forced to dismiss the claim. That's precisely what happened in some claims here in Jacksonville, one of them being the Mayo Clinic claim. The judge summarily dismissed the case. It goes on to say, standard of proof, a plaintiff who brings an action to COVID-19-related claims against a health care provider must prove by the greater weight of evidence that the health care provider was grossly negligent or engaged in intentional misconduct. affirmative defenses. If a health care provider proves the greater weight of the evidence, the existence of affirmative defenses that applies to specific COVID-19 cases, then there's no liability claim whatsoever. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just say this. We're in a position today that our legislators, both House and Senate in Tallahassee, they are fast-tracking a bill that will not help you but hurt you, will not save your life but can take your life as a result of the blanket protection they're giving the medical organizations and the doctors to do so. These hospitals and medical care facilities can claim the lack of resources. The hospitals and doctors can, in the state of Florida, then can claim that the death was due to COVID if they find any so-called underlying potential dangers. For example, you've heard that, so the comorbidities. They can say that, well, you had a bad lung, you had a bad heart, or you had a bad knee or bad leg. Never mind the fact that you had that for 49 years or 79 years. They're going to claim that it's because of that that you died because of COVID in order to be able to claim the COVID funds from the federal government and to exercise their right under this law of no liability whatsoever for your death. The hospitals and doctors would become liable only if they do not stick to the CDC requirements to give patients remdesivir and the ventilator, the belly shots, which is called blood thinner, which will cause you to bleed to death internally if you allow them to do that, and all of which, ladies and gentlemen, can lead to a patient's death. This liability coverage for doctors and hospitals protect them, not you. Protects the hospital, the doctors, from any civil or legal action against them. The bill can require judges to dismiss the cases if the claim is not clearly presented in such a way that will be definitively the cause, something beyond the hospital or the doctors. Ladies and gentlemen, what can we do? How should we respond? How should we act? What should be our response to this? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to call, text, or email the governor's office. The governor's office is 1-850, that's area code 850-717-9337. 850-717-9337. That goes directly to the governor's office. You'll perhaps not be able to speak to him. Ask for one of his legislative assistants or ask for his administrative assistant or his chief of staff. But talk with the governor's office and give them the bill numbers. The Senate bill number is 7041, 7014, that is, 7014 Senate bill. House bill is 7021. Give them those two bill numbers, whatever bill number comes to the governor's desk, which it'd be one of those two bill numbers. Ask the governor to absolutely veto the bill. Veto it. Do not sign the bill. It will take lives of others in the state of Florida if that bill is signed. It will give the hospitals, the medical facilities, and all medical care outfits, as well as the physicians, total carte blanche liability coverage that they will not be liable for any death that they have caused. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me well. Remdesivir will kill the patient. It will destroy the kidneys. It will destroy the other organs in the body and cause them not to function properly. And then they will bring in other equipment, bring in other medical, care from the standpoint of medicines and feed you that, which will cause other exacerbating problems. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to call Clay Yarber. Clay Yarber's office number here in Jacksonville is 723-5300, 723-5300. His number in Tallahassee, and they're in session now. He would be in Tallahassee. The number for Clay Yarber there is 850-717-5012. 5012, 717-5012, area code 850. Call Cord Byrd. Cord Byrd is one of the Duval delegation. His number is 850-717-5011. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question and comment, please.
I've just caught a portion of your broadcast here, but I'm just so very disappointed in legislators that I counted my friends, representatives and senators, folks that I've served on boards or commissions with, folks that I've broken bread with and broken ground on buildings with. And I had one of them I actually reached out to the other day. I won't call his name. But I asked, you know, prior to the vote, did anyone discuss Remdesivir's horrible record? Did anyone ask why the U.S. is in 95th place on COVID-19 case mortality rates? Did anyone ask about bonuses for prescribing dispensing remdesivir? Did anyone ask about the perverse incentive of government payouts for COVID-19 admissions, remdesivir, and ventilator use? Do big pharma and medical or mega hospital groups own Tallahassee? The level of centralized authoritarian control which has been unleashed on an unknowing public is absolutely horrendous. Nameless, faceless, and unaccountable bureaucrats are costing immeasurable lives. You are my friend. Please do not let this fall on deaf ears. And I gave him Ezekiel 33:6, you know, as the watchman on the wall text. But I'm brokenhearted over this. The realization now that this vote's already done. You know, your House bill and Senate bill have already passed, and now this has gone to the governor's desk. Phone calls today may make a difference, but the fact that hospitals have been completely insulated against harm. I mean, we have men and women, boys and girls dying because of mistreatment and maltreatment by these hospitals that are just following CDC protocols. They may lock you out, prevent you from coming in to see your family member, prevent advocates, lawyers from coming in to see them, represent them, and push back. And at the end of the day, so long as they can check the box that says substantially adhered to CDC protocol, then guess what? They're off scot-free. They may have taken your loved one's life, but they're off scot-free. There's a problem. There's a major problem with that. And I had no earthly idea that this is a continuation. This is an extension of something they'd already done. And for you legislators, you're listening. You hear, I am hot. I am mad. I cannot believe that you did this thing while simultaneously express some real concern for these families that have been locked out. No. You just absolutely handed them, you know, all sorts of discretion on a silver platter, regardless of how many lives it cost. Certainly, you have more wisdom than this. I am so put out, so bothered, so hot with legislators that have done this to the people of the state of Florida.
Greg, one of the things, too, and you touched on that, and it triggered a thought in my mind. I'm looking at an article that says remdesivir should not be used on hospitalized COVID-19 patients, according to the World Health Organization. The antiviral remdesivir should not be used as a treatment for hospitalized COVID-19 patients, the World Health Organization said Thursday, only a month after the Food and Drug Administration approved the drug to treat patients over 12 years of age. It is sad that we're using a drug that knowingly will destroy a person's life. Greg, we got about 20 seconds. Would you wrap us up on this broadcast today?
Rather than encouraging words, I would just say, why are we in 95th place? We spend more money on medicine in the United States than probably any country on the face of the planet. We have sub-Saharan African third world countries that are doing better than us. This is such a shame. This is such a shame for America.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast. Keep praying. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Tune in next time as once again we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.